Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kendall Roden, Cynthia Krang, Kale Teeter, Evan Vasilik, Russell Young, and Sajid DeMello discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please visit our website at azpodcast.com.
Well, welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode 251, being recorded on October 18th, 2018. And with us here today, we have Evan Vasilik and Cynthia Krang, as well as Daniel Baker is our special guest today. And so we're going to talk through some of the recent news here, and then we'll have a chat here with Daniel about some of the skills and things that are going on inside of Azure that are changing. So guys, I know Cynthia, you'd put some stuff in. Evan, which one of you wants to kind of lead off with some of the news out there?
Go ahead, Cynthia.
Well, thanks. So I put in two pieces of news. One is that Azure Cognitive Services is now available in U.S. government. I've been playing a little bit with the bots, and it's been very exciting, and I'm excited that it has expanded to not just more of the commercial side, but now we're also going to government. So if you are users in the government space, please go ahead and try it out. And the other thing that caught my eye was Azure Digital Twins, that public preview, I think, was announced during Ignite. And what Azure Digital Twins are is that it's essentially a replication of the actual IoT space you're trying to model. So it actually represents the physical world across people, places, and devices. And the special thing about digital twins is that it not only takes in like the objects, it also takes in the other factors that would affect on how your IoT data is generated or transmitted. And now you essentially have like a digital version of what it would be like when you're trying to implement different IoT solution in the physical world. And we're also going to include a little video of a PM talking about Azure Digital Twins in the show notes. And that is all for me.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'd love to at some point get somebody on about that, because I'm struggling to get that twins in my head personally. So what I want to talk about, and I swear to everybody, this is, and to our audience, this is total coincidence, although he may have known. So we had a whole bunch of announcements about Azure Active Directory Domain Services over the last week or so, you know, talking about fine-grained passwords and selective synchronization, not to mention some really significant performance improvements. We talk about in the announcements that, you know, we cut in the initial sync down from weeks to days. And I've actually worked a couple of those cases for some of our largest customers. And so that's huge to be able to do that. But, you know, I was looking back, and the person we had on talk about Azure Active Directory Domain Services a while ago was Arturo, who was just on with us last week. I think he was holding back on us. Unfortunately, he probably had some sense of some of this stuff going. But regardless, right, these are big, big, important changes for AADDS.
Awesome. I have a lot of blockchain news, so I'll go through these quickly.
Shocking.
It's been a little while. We haven't had a whole lot of news out here, but a couple things. One is the blockchain workbench tool that we have out there to kind of bootstrap and help people build apps faster. We've released version 1.4, and so it's been a steady kind of release cycle here, pretty much monthly. And this one brings, you know, some things like better accessibility for screen readers and keyboard stuff to make it a bit more productive. There's some customization in there for your smart contracts and what you can see in the UI, so you can control what columns get displayed. Array data types are being supported, which is no small feat. That's really good for people who are writing contracts. You'll understand, you know, the importance of that one and being able to have these larger data types that we can support in there. And then some string enhancements for larger character sets. We also, Cody Bourne from the engineering team also has released a lot of new things around proof of authority. So there's a governance dApp, which sounds bad, it sounds weird, but it's basically like a way for you to control the permissioning of your network easier. So really nice interface up here for controlling who can have nodes on the network and kind of control things. There's also the Block Scout, Block Explorer, that's been integrated there as well. So take a look at that. It's super slick, the interface. And then the last piece was, I wasn't on the last podcast, and I was in Portland, Oregon, talking about the at the TruffleCon, which was basically, it's not about chocolate. It seems like it, because they kind of pattern all their tools and their suite after chocolate items. So there's truffle, drizzle, and ganache. But basically, we've been partnering with these guys for a while. They're pretty much the center of the universe for dev tools for Ethereum-based kind of blockchains. And the idea was, you know, you can basically come in here and get started to build these things faster. It's like a framework. Just like think about like .NET framework. Similar thing here where it basically helps you build applications much faster and the API and programming language. And then as part of that, we kind of talked about some new things that we have announced with them. So we did some new boxes, which are basically an easy way to deploy apps. So we did those for all of our workbench stuff. So we've integrated that into Truffle. We've also put some new images out there in the marketplace for Truffle. And then we're doing a big VS Code extension with them to make it even easier. So you don't have to exit VS Code while you're building stuff to go do things with your blockchain. So take a look at the blog post. Cool stuff.
Now we should point out, Kale, you didn't point it out, but I will. But this one's actually attributed to you.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, you wrote this blog post, which is great. Congratulations.
Yeah, no, it's been good. It's been years. You know, these are not things that happen in 5 minutes. We've been working for quite some time on this stuff. So
yeah, no, great accomplishments.
Cool. With that, I will introduce our guest here. We're lucky to have him. Daniel Baker's on the call all the way from the other side of the pond, from the States here. So, Daniel, would you take a few minutes and introduce yourself, talk about what you do at Microsoft, and we can talk here.
Thank you very much for having me back again. And listen, I need to apologize. I've got a terrible cold. So if my voice sounds funny, it's because of that. But so I'm a skills evangelist at Microsoft, working under your co-presenter, Russell Young, and alongside the cloud solution architects. But I guess more than anything, I consider myself to be more of a storyteller these days and spend much of my time showcasing the cloud and highlighting the art of the possible. And I think that's really important. You know, most people have now heard of the cloud, but many businesses, especially the smaller ones, are perhaps unaware of its profound impact on industry. And I feel that we have a responsibility to try and demystify the scary terms that people continually hear. I mean, we talk about things like containers, serverless, AI, IoT, which is great if you're a developer or technically minded. But for those who aren't, it needs to be presented in a way that perhaps is a little more relatable. And I try and achieve this with fun, interactive sessions. For example, I run a session entitled The Cloud and Me, and in it I talk about all of the cloud services that I use to simplify my life. This includes things like the container that powers my magic mirror, the logic apps that automate my social media, the IoT device that helps regulate my blood glucose levels, and, you know, even the Minecraft server that entertains my son. And, you know, you see, when you wrap these technologies around a story, everyone gets it. And in my view, the technology changes and the product evolves, but it's the story that resonates. So that's really my main role at Microsoft. Obviously, I do a whole bunch around skills too. And, you know, if it's okay, I'd like to spend a little bit of time in this podcast talking about those. So, I mean, no doubt your listeners have heard about all of the changes to the curriculum, but let's try and explain why this is happening. You know, the Azure certifications now date back some 5 years. And when I think about the tools we were using back then, I can remember the experience being very different. I mean, back then, everything was based around Azure Service Manager, wasn't it? You know, our VMs were built around cloud services, and the breadth of solutions available were significantly smaller. But recently, we've seen accelerated development. We now support hundreds of services on a platform that updates on average every 36 hours. And this pace of change has become relentless as the big cloud providers fight for dominance. And, you know, this is great for you guys as it keeps your podcast fresh. But for the rest of us, especially those trying to earn a technical credential, the rate of change has become problematic. So, you know, how do we address this? Well, you know, if you look at the original certifications, although they were relevant at the time, you know, in my opinion, they've just become too broad. And we've received lots of feedback from candidates who were concerned about being tested on technologies that they were simply never using. So to that, changes had to be made. And, you know, I think Microsoft have absolutely done the right thing by taking the time to step back, define industry workloads and map them to meaningful certification structures. What this translates to is the current exam, so the 7532, the 7533, and the 7535 are actually going to be retired at the end of the year. I believe it's December the 31st. Going forward, certification will be role-based, and each new track will be based on a career path. And there's six of them to date. This is going to be the Azure Administrator, the Developer and Solution Architect exams. But then you also have the Azure DevOps Engineer and two credentials aligned to Microsoft 365. These are going to be your Desktop and Enterprise Administrator certifications. As always, you're going to get some transition exams. So if you've done the original developer exam, the 7532, you'll now get a transition exam, the AZ202. If you've done the 7533, there'll be a transition, the AZ102. And finally, the 7535, there'll be a transition exam for the AZ302. So that's your exams. But on top of this, the landscape of training has also had to evolve. You know, we need to push changes out fast and keep content relevant. And unfortunately, this is increasingly difficult with printed manuals. I mean, this is how I met Cal, isn't it? You know, I think it's going back 2-3 years. We met in London for the architect exam, didn't we? So, you know, that's when we first crossed paths. But, you know, we've tried to push these updates out via Git repos and clever scripts, but it still meant that our learning partners were having to continually supplement the learning materials on offer. On top of that, you know, students need more flexibility in the modalities in which they learn, and we can no longer expect a company to release its workforce for weeks at a time. So it's now all changed. We're now embracing a more free-form model of classroom delivery and breaking down the training into single-day courses focused on a particular area of technology. What this does is give learners a far more agile feel to the way in which they're taught. Each course is could be taken individually or obviously combined into learning blocks, which means that the learning is now done at the student's pace. In addition to this, we recently launched Azure Learn, which is an online resource that provides free training via a crisp, clean interface. And, you know, if you haven't seen it, go and take a look. It is absolutely fantastic. I mean, what's great about this is that learners can easily navigate and customize their own training plans by selecting roles and following their guided learning paths. And I guess on top of this, you're also getting valuable hands-on experience during the training, because for many of the modules, you can validate your understanding in live sandbox Azure environment. So, you know, this is now giving you that much needed hands-on experience, but also translating to the new exam-based simulations. And, you know, if you think about it, Microsoft are also gamifying the learning process. They're allowing you to rack up points, score badges, and earn trophies. And this really works. You know, I hate myself for saying this because I really didn't want to be that guy. But I do find myself going back to the site regularly so that I can maintain a high score. So I would say definitely go and check that out. Just head over to azure.com, click on training from the top menu, and then from there you're going to find some amazing content. And it's not just the things that I've spoken about. You've also got a bunch of free videos from Pluralsight. You've got the hands-on labs, and then you've got some links to some of the great instructor-led training from our learning partners.
I love the gamifying, Daniel. I have to say, you know, I've been playing an older version of Forza the last couple of weeks. And Kale, apparently you've spent some time there as well, because I keep seeing you pop up on the boards as I go through. But now I've decided my new goal in my spare time, I'm gonna outscore you, Kale, on the Azure training.
It's a fantastic resource. And, you know, for me, what I love about it is the fact that there's the iframe now. It will put you into a sandbox Azure environment, and it would allow you to practice.
That's huge.
And it gives you that kinesthetic understanding and really drives the knowledge home. And, you know, we've been calling out for this for a long, long time. So I think it's a fantastic resource. Now, I do have a bunch of other resources that I was going to talk about as well, unless you guys have got any questions.
Yeah, just one thing. So this is awesome. And to be honest, I didn't even know about this new kind of portal up here or under the training, which has like these sandboxes and that stuff, which is super cool. Because the thing that I always heard from people who were interested in getting certified in particular spaces of Azure, whether it's infrastructure or dev, was, you know, what do I need to study? That's always question. It's I mean, people want to know how to use the services, obviously, but one of the goals is to get the certification to, you know, advance their career and these kind of things. And so they're always looking for kind of like, what's, I don't want to go waste my time doing something, even though it might be cool and things like that. I really need to focus on this thing because this is what I'm trying to do. So what should I do? Should I read this book, or should I go just play around with VMs, or what should I do? So this seems much more kind of takes people down the path, you know, based on their needs.
Absolutely. Sounds awesome. So what's happened, you know, again, I go back to what I said before. If you look at the original exams, if you take things like the 75-3-3, you know, that's been around for 4 or 5 years. Now, when, you know, I'd done that, I think it was the second week it had been released. But back then, Azure was a very different product. And as I said, it's become too broad. So what you find is people are coming on to do that particular learning path, but finding that they're having to learn and remember things for an exam for technologies that they will simply never use. Now, everything has now changed. I mean, I'm heading off to Germany Saturday for the MCT Global Summit to talk about these changes, because the way they're now being delivered by our learning partners is no longer a 5-day block course, but they're lots of 1-day courses. So you will get a course just on virtual machines. You will get a course just on databases. You will get a course just on networking. And that does two things. A, it simplifies the learning paths. It enables you to become laser focused on the technologies that you're interested in. But it also enables you to, you know, learn at your own speed. Because one of the problems, you know yourself, I mean, you know, we'd done the course together, didn't we? It's sort of information overload. And by Wednesday, Thursday, in one of these 5-day courses, you can see in people's faces, they just can't take any more information in. So I think we've absolutely nailed this. And the fact that you can reinforce classroom learning with online learning and the sandbox Azure environment is a great, great resource. Now, I don't know if you're still looking at the page, but if you carry on down there, you've also got the free videos from Pluralsight, but you've also got hands-on labs as well. So if it's not the sandbox environment through Azure Learn that you want to use, you can actually connect into a whole bunch of hands-on labs and try this technology out. And in the very near future, we're going to be getting instructor-led hands-on labs too. So Microsoft are putting a massive, massive investment into all of this training material, and it's a much welcome change.
I have to say, so I went out and looked at the page because I had not seen it before, and some caught my attention. And Kale, I'm telling you, I'm already starting this. I got 200 experience points. I just signed in and took one quick knowledge check. Done, man. The game's on.
It's on. No question.
Now, ideally, guys, what I would like to see here is continuing credits, because the other problem with the exam structures, I mean, you know, I've been an MCT for 22 years, and when I started off in NT4, the technology didn't change until 2000, and then the technology didn't change until 2003. We're now in an environment where the technology is updating every 36 hours. So
I want to ask you about that, Daniel. Like, so I think what we're doing here is great because it, you know, we struggle with, I'm on the bit on the support side and then on, you know, on the engineering side recently. And that's one of the things we struggle with, right? Just how do we keep up with troubleshooting and dealing with these scenarios because they are changing so fast. And obviously this has an impact on training and for our customers to learn this stuff. What's your recommendation around, right? So I go in, let's say I learn about virtual machines, right?
Yeah.
What's your recommendation for keeping, okay, great. So I passed that one. Now I know it. How do I keep up to date on virtual machines? Let's say I happen to be in a role where I tend to work with ISVMs a lot, right? I'm a sysadmin or something like that. Do you go back and redo the same one you do? Do we expect that there's going to be like a, you know, update on VMs or so? Like, what's, do you have any sense of what the plan is for that? What do you recommend customers do for so that kind of scenario?
The best resource is docs.microsoft.com. And this is effectively what Azure Learn is based on. So docs.microsoft.com is continually updated. For me, how I keep on top of things is obviously I subscribe to you guys. I also make sure that I have a Logic app that captures every new blog article from Microsoft and posts it on my Twitter feed. So I use my Twitter feed as my own little update catalog. And I would just scroll through that while I'm on the train. But there are a couple of other resources that we can use. And the first one that I want to talk about is something called the Azure Citadel. Now, this has been developed by the UK Cloud Solution Architects and now supported by the wider community. And these guys are just superstars. They're using this repository to push out a treasure chest of resources, things like labs, workshops, videos, and guides, which they use to onboard and train many of our partners. Now, what this means is anyone can work through these business-like technical scenarios and build out end-to-end solutions. And because they've invested in the site, you can be sure that it's always updated with the latest technology. So, you know, props to Russell for this. It's his team and he continues to support it, which is great for us, but also great for the people that are actively using it. So, you know, you've got Azure Learn, you've got docs.microsoft.com. The Azure Citadel is also an amazing resource. And I guess the other one, which no one ever really mentions, is the Microsoft Cloud YouTube channel. I mean, I don't think this gets enough credit at all. There's hundreds of videos across a wide portfolio of solutions, things like Azure, AI, IoT, modern workplace. And what's really nice about the channel is it's not just about the technology, but it's tied into a whole bunch of stories that really help, you know, drive that story home. So there's a whole bunch of resources out there. I would say my first port of call would be Azure Learn because it's based on top of docs.microsoft.com. You know, the other resource as well. Are you guys familiar with Azure Interactives? So you've got Azure Interactives.azurewebsites.net. And again, that's like a lovely front end to all of the Azure updates. So you'll effectively get an interactive map of all the Azure products. And when you click on it, you'll get all the latest documentation, all the latest blog posts. You've got all of the Azure architectures on there as well. I mean, I can send all these links over to you and we can publish them for the listeners. But there's some really, really great resources out there.
Yeah, that's awesome. I was just going to say, we're going to keep it up. They're going to put our podcast out of business here.
They are fantastic resources, but you know, we all subscribe to this one as well. Obviously our boss Russell, he's one of your co-presenters, so yeah, we all like to support it, we all listen to it.
We appreciate awesome. Even the forced ones.
This is such great content. And then the I know you mentioned something about some external. I know we've done a lot of stuff on like edX and Pluralsight and things like that. So it's awesome that those are also integrated over there to help people. Does that also link out to for those people who want to do like do we still do the books like MS Press stuff and things like that? So if we're taking exams or prepping?
There are books out there. And, you know, I feel mean saying this because the books are great. But the trouble is, with a product that updates so quickly, by the time the books are published, you know, a lot of it's a history lesson. I think in terms of exam prep, I think you'd be hard pushed to find a better resource than the Measure Ups. They're very, very good. They will take you through exam simulation questions. They will take you through a whole bunch of different exam pillars. And in my view, I've often said, if you can pass a Measure Up exam, you will sell through a Microsoft exam. I typically find those to be the best exam prep material out there. But, you know, people learn in different ways. There's people that can read it and just understand it, docs.microsoft.com. There's people like myself that need to play with the technology, and this is where Azure Learn comes in. This is where things like hands-on labs come in. There's people, you know, we need to tip our hat to our learning partners as well, because, you know, I don't think you're going to find a better learning experience than Classroom, because it's not just about what you're learning. It's about the community. It's about bouncing ideas off of everyone. You know, what you'll find is you'll get a whole bunch of companies come into a room. They'll all be talking about different problems, and you'll find that the course quickly sort of transitions from just being a listen to this and watch this PowerPoint deck to, you know, classroom discussions where you're bouncing ideas off and perhaps going down different paths. So, you know, that's not detract from the value of that as well.
Yeah, totally. I mean, especially getting pulled out of the environment too, because everybody's like, you know, has a day job and all kinds of things going on in their life. So being able to step out into a classroom like that, for me, it's always been good because you can kind of disconnect and really focus. So, absolutely. Yeah, that's super awesome.
Sorry.
Hey, Daniel. So all the resources are super awesome, but I had a question around, is there like a place where people that are learning can interact with each other, or like a place where they can have discussions on where they're stuck?
So
essentially
have,
like a platform.
There are a whole bunch of forums out there. You've got Born to Learn, which if you're studying for exams, you can go and talk to the community there. I'll be honest with you, Cynthia, it's not something that I really use, but I know it exists, and I'm happy to send you guys over the link so you can post it onto your site. So yeah, there are ones there. They're not particularly resources that I use, but they do exist.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Yeah, this has been great. I don't know, Daniel, if you have anything else, but I found this personally, now I need to compete with Evan. So that's definitely going to be like the rest of my day today. But no, I'm just kidding. But this is cool.
So obviously, last time I was on the podcast, we talked about Build a Company in a Day. Now, I know you hate the name, Cal, but we went ahead and recorded that. That so far has done tremendously. So that's on my website, www.azuredan.co.uk. I think we're up to 300,000 views at the moment. So it's a 4-hour video that starts off with a blank subscription and builds a company out for you. So it builds all of the networks, the virtual machines, but then moves up the stack and does all your cognitive services, your bots and your web apps and so on. So I completed that a few months ago. That's done tremendously well. I've just finished Citrix on Azure Better Together. So looking at moving your Citrix real estate into the cloud. And what I'm working on now is migrate a company to Azure. So our friends at Intel, kindly lent me 3 NUCs. I've built a Citrix environment, a VMware environment, a Hyper-V environment. I've got some Server 2016 boxes on there, some Server 2008 boxes on there, a whole bunch of legacy apps. And what we're going to do now is we're going to record a 4-hour video that goes through the end-to-end migration project. So it'll talk about why you want to do it, the different ways of refactoring, you know, the different applications, and how you get it from on-premises over into the cloud. So maybe worth a watch if people are interested.
That's super awesome, by the way, and congrats on, you know, 300,000 views is not something small.
It's impressive.
That's amazing.
Thank you very much.
Cool. Well, guys, this has been awesome. I really, again, thank you, Daniel, for sharing all this information. And I'm sure this is going to be probably one of the posts with the most links in it, because there's quite a lot of content you discussed here. So we'll want to make sure we capture those and share them with our listeners in the link dump.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks. Thanks again, Daniel.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.